Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Next time I have an idea like that, punch me in the face.
Hey, Throners, welcome to our podcast. I'm Mr. Blog.
And I'm Cindy.
And this is Game of Microphones, episode 17. Wow. I am joined this week with Cindy from Walker Stalker Con. At least that's how I know you from. But you are all over the place. How would you how would you describe what you're doing right now? Where people can find you?
Well, all things Walking Dead related. As you mentioned, I work for Walker Stalker Con, and I also work part-time for Atlanta Movie Tours in Atlanta, Georgia, on their Walking Dead tours. And people can find me or might know me by Petey Sinderson, and I am Petey Sinderson on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Indeed. You know, what, three times now I've been out to Atlanta for Walker Stalker Con, and not once have I done one of the movie tours.
Oh, you need to.
I know. I've been, and I don't think I'm going to be able to make it this year to Atlanta, and I'm really bummed about that. I don't think so. It's, well, like a day or two after the convention, it's my 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So it's one of those things I'm like, I can't be a dick and skip out on my 20th wedding anniversary for and a Walking Dead convention.
She doesn't want to make Walker Stalker Con her anniversary trip.
We did that on our 17th anniversary. Actually, when you and I first met, that was my 17th wedding anniversary. So I think once is enough for her.
I get it. Well, let me extend you this invitation then. You are welcome to visit Dean and I anytime you want in Sonoy, Georgia, and we will give you a personal tour.
Oh, now that is a offer I'm not going to be able to refuse. I'm gonna hit you. We have that on record now. I want to hit you up on that. So very cool. Thank you.
You got it.
But we're not here to talk about The Walking Dead.
We are not.
We are here to talk about Game of Thrones. And man, episode 2 of season 6, home.
I feel so lucky to be on this podcast after this episode.
No kidding. This was such a spectacular episode. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, they're always amazing. You know, they
really are.
Rarely are they ever like, meh. But this one. Oh my goodness. So we have a lot of things to talk about. We got a great show. We actually have a number of, as always, we got some emails. We got some Facebook feedback.
I can imagine.
But what's also really exciting, we finally got a phone calls into our, I always forget the number, at least the area code. I think it's 813. Yeah, 813 Joffrey. We finally got three different phone calls into it. So we have a number of those to go over. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of feedback to talk about. Of course, top five highlights, news about Game of Thrones, some feedback, and then next week on Game of Thrones before we close out the show. But man, let's skip any and all of that. Let's just get into our top five because I want to talk about this episode. It is just so much fun. It's so awesome. So, Cindy, start us off with your number five.
Well, my number five, I feel, is the most boring of all of them, although there's nothing boring about this show. So I just labeled it as Arya Has No Name. And I can't talk about an episode without talking about Arya. I love her so much. But, I don't feel like anything really super big happened with her, but, you know, people may disagree. But, God, that little girl's acting, you know, that that, you know, clearly she was being tested and she knew it. So I knew she would answer correctly. But, you know, after all that she's been put through, to be like, you know, I'll let you sleep under my roof. I'll give you food. I'll give you your sight back.
Yeah.
And she just nailed it. And, you know, the quivering lip and the look on her face. And for that, you know, that little girl, she's just amazing. I love her so much.
I was so stoked to see Jack and Hagar show up for that. Oh, you know, it's like, okay, they're not going through the waif on this one. He shows up.
I hate that waif, by the way.
Really? You don't like her?
Oh, I hate her. Poor girl. If I ever meet her, I'm going to be like, I hate you. I'm going to hit you with a stick.
Stick to the face.
Stick to the face.
quick question. Have you read the books?
I have not.
Okay, good. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I wasn't sure one way or the other. So, she is a bit of a despicable character. Although, oddly enough, I loved seeing her in the last episode. I kind of enjoyed that little thing with the stick, you know, just that sense of, all right, they're not just leaving her to be this poor homeless beggar blind child in the street. There's a purpose for what they're doing. And it was really cool to finally see, as you just pointed out, going to give you a roof, going to give you your sight back. So there's that definite sense of, yes, you know, training continues.
And I really
love
when she went to like go get that bowl of change. And he was like, leave it. You don't need that. Or you're not a beggar anymore or something like that.
That was pretty awesome. So I was, and that was like a, I don't know, a whopping minute out of the show, but that was a great minute. And she looks, like you said, Maisie Williams is killing it as Arya, because she looked so dejected, so skeevy and gross, and just messed up as that poor blind beggar.
And I just I always think back to the beginning of the entire series and how the Stark girls started out as these just. Young, privileged, you know, almost like princesses in training type, you know, ladies that they were being raised to be. And even though Arya was always kind of that tomboyish and wanted a sword, she still was raised as someone who had always had food, always had clothes, always had a roof. Everything she's been through in the past several seasons is just, I always have in the back of my head where she came from. And like, God, if any other like young girl had had to go through this.
Oh, yeah. And the first time here, and it's great that you bring up the past with it also, because the first time we ever meet Arya in the show during the pilot was her, like Bran is trying to take a shot with his bow and she does it from behind him. So there's that sort of like, ha, in your face, I'm better than you are, Bran, even though you're a prince of Winterfell, you know. So we already got that sort of haughty nature of Arya right off of the bat in the pilot. But even... as you mentioned about what she's been through and how she's been different, that as far as grooming of a lady, that Sansa took to that, and she was all about the embroidery and doing all that stuff with her buddy Jane Poole. But it was such a wonderful treat in this episode when Brienne and Sansa are talking, and Brienne does tell her, well, you know, she doesn't dress like a lady. And Sansa's like, no, she wouldn't. Yeah. You know, that was such a wonderful thing, too, because now Sansa finally gets to know that her sister is alive, you know.
So for how long were all of them, even back when Rob was still alive, how long were they all separated and having no idea if the other ones were alive or not?
The last time Arya was seen was when Ned Stark was beheaded.
Right.
That was the last time that she'd actually been seen.
Sansa now knows that. That Bran and Rickon were not killed.
Yep.
And now Arya is still alive. So she's the only one who actually has gotten this information.
Yes.
But great. That's finally somebody has it.
Yeah. So that means there's four Stark kids still alive. And, you know, if you want to count Jon Snow.
Right. And at one time, you probably thought they were all dead.
Exactly. Oh, that's a great one. Yes. That's a good number five. So Arya Stark.
Thanks.
Blind beggar. Love it. My number five. Having nothing to do with the Starks, really. But the Wildlings versus the Crows. And loved seeing Tormund Giantsbane just walking in there with 1-1 behind him. Actually, I think 1-1 came in first. Seeing all the Crows just freaking out, dropping their swords. Sir Alistair shaking in his boots. Probably, you know, he stood his ground at least for a little bit.
He tried.
And then when that one archer puts that arrow into a 1-1, nope, he's not having any of that. No. Whap, whap, done. You know, he painted the walls of that dude, and I love the little smear of blood as he throws him on the ground.
The body slam against the wall. That's not one of my top five, but it's in my like little mentions that I got to mention the Giants and the body slam.
I love that. Now, that is, I'm just going to mention, because we don't have a book talk section anymore, I do like to bring up little bits about the books. That is something that does happen in the book, oddly enough. Not quite the same setup, but it's funny. This is particularly funny because George R. R. Martin had a bet with a friend of his, or something came up where he said he would put his buddy into the show or into the books. I forget what this whole situation was, but he did have his friend as Sir Patrick, and Sir Patrick got picked up by 1-1, smashed against the wall and all that.
Oh my God.
So that's what he did to his friend, was smashed it up against the wall. Loved it. But I thought that was just a phenomenal scene. I'm always happy to see Tormund. And the fact that Dollar said that is what he did. He came and got them. That ended all of that. And how cool was it to see Davos? You know, they got their bacon saved right at that moment because they were coming through with that sledgehammer, man.
Oh, yeah. But just the fact that that relationship that Jon Snow built with them, they came there because they were told Jon Snow has been killed. And they came. So that, to me, was great.
Oh, it was phenomenal. And again, getting into the whole loyalty thing, and I do love that with how loyal Tormund is to Jon Snow. And even the fact that Davos, you know, he's not a fighter, but he'll draw his sword. And when they're in that room guarding his body, oh, man, I got, you know, that was just like, yeah, go! I know.
What did he say? He said something like, I'm not a fighter and I apologize for what you're about to see.
Yeah. Which is either, I took that either as like for him just being violent or the fact that he's going to be so bad at it. Yeah, exactly. He would do such a bad job at it. Please forgive me.
At least he'll try.
At least he'll try. I don't know. That's one of this show, you know, I'm on record for saying it really is a very mean-spirited, just nasty show in general. But every so often you get these particular moments of, I don't know, for me that was almost joy. You know, there wasn't anything mean-spirited about it. It was actually like, no, we're going to do this and we're going to do this for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And man, I just love it when that happens. It does not happen enough on this show.
I love Davos in particular.
I love that dude as well. And he's just such a great character, great actor. And I feel terrible. I can't remember the actor's name right now, but he always does a phenomenal job. So that's my number five, The Wildlings versus the Crows. And it really does end wonderfully with Sir Alistair and all those other traitors being shuffled off to jail. Yes. Justice is never served on this show.
You're right. That in and of itself makes it worthy of the list because justice is rarely served in our favor, the fans' favor on this show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. What's your number four?
So my number four is actually, it was kind of hard for me. It's more my least favorite moment on the show.
That happens.
But it's the Boltons in general.
Ugh.
Okay. And so I've got what I've actually written here is Bolton has a boy. Yay. Ramsay kills Roose. Boo. Ooh. Dogs kill baby. Serious boo.
Oh. Dear God, that was.
I'm one person who likes Roose Bolton. I actually kind of have a crush on him.
No, you're not the only person.
Really? Because I know
at least, I want to say two other people, but definitely one other person I know has a bit of a crush on Roose. And they always apologize whenever it comes up.
I've got a crush on Roose. And when that stabbing first occurred, and I think they did this on purpose, but for a split second, I thought Roose had stabbed Ramsay.
Me too. I was ready to ask you that if you thought that, because have that split moment where you're just like,
I can't believe he did it. And then when it was revealed, I was just like, no. And
I was a little disappointed that Roose fell for it.
I've always had a
little bit more respect for Roose than that, thinking he's a smart man. He's a vicious, evil guy, but he was at least smart.
Not
that smart. Obviously not. You know?
That's why I thought he was the one doing the stabbing. Me too. He tricked Ramsay into a false sense of something. And then without Roose there, Ramsay, there's nothing to stop him. And then what he did with the dogs and the baby, that was just awful, awful. I couldn't even watch it.
That was the worst. And actually, this is one of those moments where I was so happy they did not
show
us anything. you know, I'm like, please, I don't want to. I do not want to come on this episode and talk about that. If they showed us, if that was just horrendous and horrible. I mean, Ramsay is truly becoming one of those villains that you're just. At this point, you don't even love to hate him anymore. You just hate him. You know.
Although I did like, I liked two of his lines, just, you know, from enjoyment of watching the show and the writing of the show. I did like when he said to her, she said something about Lord Bolton, and he said, I am Lord Bolton. And I was just like, ooh. And then he says, I prefer being an only child. And I was like, oh, God, I hate him so much.
Oh, that was brutal. And then you got the Karstarks, you know, that are now joining up with him. Yeah, he's going to lose a lot of the other families in the North because of this. He obviously... Ramsay Bolton is just one of those dudes that zero fucks given. He just does not care, you know. And we had that weird moment last episode where he was so tender with Miranda, where it's suddenly like, oh, does he have some sort of conscience? Does he have some kind of humanity inside of him? And then you get this episode and you're like, nope, none. Nope. That guy's a complete and utter monster of a human being. And poor Lady Walda. She did not deserve that. And to hear her begging for herself, I'll just go away.
I'll just go back to the Riverlands. Just let me go.
That was just too much. That was so bad. But yeah, that's a very good number four. I actually have that a bit higher up on my list only because I feel like we're going to get a lot of, you know, the implications for what this is going to mean down the road.
That's true.
You know, that's pretty big. I mean, again, he's going to lose a lot of the North because of the fact that Roose is now gone. This was also part of a deal between, the Freys.
The Freys.
So this may lose the Freys as well once he finds out that his daughter, Walda, was killed. So, you know, this very bad in terms of the political aspects of this. Not that he, again, I don't think he really cares. He's got bloodlust going on.
Unless he's able to cover it up the same way he is attempting to cover up Roose's, is that they were poisoned or their enemies came and I'm here to avenge their deaths. You know, I mean, who's going to tattle on him? I don't know. I wouldn't dare tattle on him.
Hell no. Because then you'll get, you'll get stabbed or eaten by dogs. Ew.
He's the worst.
Very good number four. I think that's something everybody can agree on.
Ramsay Bolton. He's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when I was on the tour the other day, the tour guide that was with me, she watches as well. And she was asking me this question and told me that her and another friend of hers were having this argument on who was the most sadistic or the more psycho, Joffrey or Ramsay. And she believes Ramsay is, and her friend was arguing for Joffrey, and I was saying how awful Joffrey is too, and I don't really know which one ultimately is worse. Ramsay has been around longer and has practiced his sadism longer. Joffrey was just beginning and was still young, so if he had not died, who knows? They both are clearly not just assholes or bastards or jerks. They are like sick.
Oh, yeah.
Six psychopaths, both of them.
No doubt there. Oh, that's a good question. Ramsay or Joffrey? I mean, personally, I would say Joffrey, or no, excuse me, I would say Ramsay is the worst of the two. Mm-hmm. Only because, you know, with Joffrey, he was being raised to be a king. He's being raised to be a spoiled brat and all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ramsay... Oh, that's no excuse necessarily. No. I don't know. They're both sadistic dickheads. So it's really hard to say who is worse.
I think Joffrey was just younger and didn't have as much time to get into his practice of his sadism.
You know, the thing with the Boltons, though, is that the house family sigil is the flayed man. This is like, you know, family pride to flay people, which that's pretty nasty. Bad. But
it is.
I don't know. I don't miss Joffrey. I can say that much. And Ramsay has been a wonderful villain.
I don't miss that. And I'll keep this short, not to go off topic. I don't miss Joffrey either. And but I found myself a little bit in the last episode and at the end of last season with Margaery and even Cersei incarcerated and treated the way that they were, saying, Joffrey would not stand for this. This would not be happening if Joffrey was still around.
And that was kind of, I did get a kick out of that with, and I hope I'm not stepping on one of your tops here, but bringing up Cersei and Tommen. That was an interesting little conversation there where Tommen is realizing how he has failed as king by allowing these things to happen. Mm-hmm. He allowed his wife and mother to be incarcerated and put through what they had been put through. So, yeah, Tommen is, you know, maybe he's learning. Maybe that is what it takes to be a king, that you do have to be so sadistic that you would not allow that kind of thing. But I don't know. I did enjoy that scene with Tommen and Cersei, though. And on one hand, you feel sympathy for both people, but I'm also like, oh, God, please don't give Cersei any sort of power because she always abuses it no matter what. You know, she had her power and she actually put the Faith Militant in charge.
She kind of made she all did this happen.
Yeah. 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 So that's a fascinating little like mess of a thing that's going on with that end of the story with Cersei and Tommen and then and Jaime. But we could talk about some of that later. I'm going to go ahead and get into my number four here.
Okay.
The death of Balon Greyjoy and the reintroduction of Yara and Pike.
Yes.
So I had been one. I mean, these are, how do I put this? The Greyjoys are actually, many people, book readers and show watchers alike, are kind of divided on the Greyjoys. Some people love them. Some people hate them. I actually really like the Greyjoys.
I like some of them. I hate some of them.
Absolutely. But as a family, and just as a whole thing, I kind of dig that. As somebody with Viking blood himself, I get a real kick out of the Vikings of Westeros. And you know, we first met Yara. It's still one of my favorite scenes in all media when Theon is hitting on his sister, having been gone so long, he doesn't even know it's his sister.
Have you ever watched the episodes with the commentary?
No, I never
so have. In between the seasons, 1 year when I was just jonesing for more, it was over too soon, I watched on YouTube. A lot of the episodes are on there with the commentary, and that scene is Theon and Yara are the two that give the commentary, and some of the stuff that they were talking about while filming that scene, it was just really funny.
I believe it. That had to be so uncomfortable for everybody involved. Even more so, of course, if they were real siblings.
Oh, yeah.
No, and here's a funny thing is Lily Allen, the singer who is Alfie Allen's brother, was asked to play that role of Yara.
Oh, no.
And she did. They specifically said she was like, no, I know what happens with those two. I can't do that. Yeah, no, that's not happening. Too weird. And I'm really glad because she is just way too petite to ever have been Yara. Yeah. That would have made no sense. But that whole thing with, of course, the death of Balon happening at the hands of his brother. Now, they don't say his name specifically in the show. We believe that is Euron Greyjoy.
Have we seen him name. Before?
Nope. That's his introduction.
I didn't think I'd seen him, but I wasn't sure.
Now, we had seen the other, what should be another Greyjoy, but I think they've given him a different name, but the drowned god priest that we see now when at the funeral for Balon.
Okay.
Now, here's another one of the, and the reason why this really made my list, and this is another one of those dog whistles for book readers, was the moment they said Kingsmoot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if other people picked up on that, but the Kingsmoot is a bit of a big deal for book readers because this is a gathering of everybody. We're going to see this later on, I'm sure, but it's what a Kingsmoot is, and this is an actual thing. Is a gathering of everybody who has the right to be king, and it's basically like a vote.
Okay.
Who's going to be the new king? So this is interesting for a lot of reasons. You've got Euron, who we now know killed Balon, who is the brother of Balon. So that would be certainly a good candidate. Yara, who wants to be a king.
Who should be the heir, I guess.
Exactly. And then we have young Theon, who is on his way home.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that did say, where's he going? Home.
Home.
So he's going to be showing up at a very interesting time, if he shows up. I mean, we, of course, don't know if he's actually going to make it. Will he get picked up by somebody? Will he even survive? Who the hell knows?
Poor Theon. I didn't have this as one of my five either, but it is in my little mention thing. It's just Yara and Lord Greyjoy dying because I hate him. But love Yara. And just the scene between Sansa and Theon, too, was just so great. before Theon, you know, announces that he's going to
so
leave.
So how do you feel about... How do you feel about Theon at this point? Because that's another character that people have so many mixed emotions about, you know?
I don't know. I guess his acting is just so phenomenal. There's everybody in this. They're acting so phenomenal that he sways me every time. So when he's doing really horrible things, I think horrible things about him and think that he deserved everything that he was getting from Ramsay in the beginning. But then that became so awful and ongoing that you can't help but feel for Theon. And then, you know, when Sansa first comes there and is thinking that Theon, you know, killed her brothers, her treatment of him, and then that's finally revealed that he didn't. Although he did kill two boys.
He did kill two boys.
He killed two boys.
But the thing was, he
wins me over every time. Like, I'll sway with whatever's happening in his scene. If he's being a traitor, then I hate him. And when he's broken, I feel for him. And
I feel exactly the same way. And it's been one of these difficult things for me because in so many ways, I've always liked Theon. He's cocky. Yeah. He is so imperfect. He's always been in the shadow of Robb Stark. He was this kid who was taken from his family when he was 10 years old to go live with the Starks because of losing a war against the Greyjoys. You know, and this came up. I love the fact that Balon brings this up, brought that up again. He lost all of his sons in that war, you know, the Greyjoy.
Yeah.
And I do love that Balon brought up the fact that he is the remaining king of the War of Five Kings, or he was the remaining king. So technically he sort of won, yet at the same time, the last time we saw the Greyjoys was season 3 when Yara's showing up to rescue Theon. She's greeted with two dogs and she's like, nope, nope, nope. I'm out of here. Get out of here. Everybody out. Yeah. Everybody out. Fuck Theon. He doesn't even want to come, you know? So they bail on that. And his whole arc has been, cocky to really bad and just making the worst decisions imaginable to being horribly tortured, getting his wang chopped off. I mean, all these horrible, horrible things. And now I just can't help but sympathize with the guy when he did finally own up to not killing Bran and Rickon and then helping Sansa. And then the last episode, we get that moment between the two of them where he's trying to help her get warm as they're trying to escape. I can't help but find so much sympathy for Theon Greyjoy right now. And you're right. Alfie Allen has killed it as far as acting that role. And I'm a fan and I am a fan of the Greyjoys. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this Kingsmoot. And wow, that bridge. I got to say, I loved the effects on that bridge when Balon and Euron are standing there. It was like, I'm afraid of heights. So I'm like, no, get off that thing, man. That's terrible. I don't like being on any rope bridges.
Have we seen Pike in the opening credits before?
Yes,
I noticed it this time.
Season 3.
I didn't
but
know
season
it was
3
new or not.
Was the last time. You know, we haven't seen them.
That was actually almost going to be one of my top fives, was just the opening credits, even though they're not new, is just how much I love the opening credits for this show in general. Oh, that
they're great,
fly over the map and all of the way they built the little, you know, the kind of steampunk mechanism of all of the towns, if you want to call them that, or the regions. I just love Game of Thrones opening credits.
Have you seen somebody just, they redid that with paper.
Oh, wow.
It's on YouTube somewhere, but somebody actually built it all with paper
I have the pop-up
the whole
book.
Thing. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I have the pop-up book of it. I love it.
Oh, that's cool. And does that have like the kind of opening credits with each? Oh, very awesome. And I do love how Winterfell is the one that has really changed from the first season on.
Yeah.
You know, first it was the mighty Stark Winterfell, then it was the burning Winterfell, and now we get the... I still get angry every goddamn time I see the flayed man.
I know.
On there. I'm like,
I know. Rrr. I remember the first time you saw that, you're just like,
oh, it was horrific. I hated that. So, so that's my number three, or excuse me, number four. Greyjoys, the death of Balon, and then the Kingsmoot, which I cannot wait to see, and the introduction of Euron, Yara. I mean, I love it. They've been gone for so long, and now all of a sudden we're getting this great infusion of some Greyjoy action. So I'm stoked on that. What's your number three?
So my number three, and my 3-2-1 basically are, as you'll see, they're like one or two words with exclamation points. So number three is dragons.
Nice. Yes.
Dragons and Tyrion letting the two dragons go. Like, that was amazing. Him telling that story, him talking to the dragons, his fear. When he was first walking down the stairs, I was like, this isn't going to end well. Although I knew, I was pretty sure that Tyrion was not going to just all of a sudden die by the dragons right now. But I was fearful for him. But I just really liked that scene. And just dragons. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. I was definitely getting a little bit worried for Tyrion when he was going down there. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you really need to be doing this right now? I don't know. There's something about that. Because he had asked Missandei, like, do the dragons know you? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, send her down there. What are you doing?
At least have her by your side. So they're like, okay, yeah. We know her. You must be okay then. I thought that's why he asked her that, is I thought he would have her by his side at least.
Me too.
No.
Yeah, I had no idea why he was doing that. So he goes down there, he does that. I'm just like, and that was spectacular. And there's, I mean, really, that line at the end there. The next time, what did he say? Something like, the next time I have an idea like that, punch me in the face. I absolutely love that.
It ended well, so I don't know why then he said that, because he was leaving safely.
It ended very well, and that gets me wondering. You know, there are a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors about that, whether or not Tyrion has any Targaryen blood himself.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
I was thinking about that when he was going down there. Like, you know, the dragon, it started getting its fire ready.
I know. You saw that, like, in the back of his throat.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be nowhere for him to run or cower to. If they breathed out that fire, he'd just be gone.
I got a little concerned right then. I'm like, oh, is this the end of Tyrion? What a shitty way for Tyrion to go out. No way. But I did wonder about whether or not, is there some Targaryen blood that the dragon picked up on and saying, no, we can't kill him. He's going to be riding one of us eventually. Who knows? but man, and it was great to see the dragons again.
Yes. You know, they do such a good job on their animation of those.
They do.
Dragons. They're amazing.
That was exactly what I was going to say. I am so impressed with how much they are putting into their CGI, because that looked great. Yeah. That looked really, really great.
And when they're walking, like when they walk on their knuckles or whatever it is, their talons, they're just, it's so creepy looking.
Have you ever seen like bats walking?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it reminded me of. I was looking at that, like the way that it seems like their wings, similar to a bat, are just like their fingers, right?
Right.
So the way that they're walking, it was cool, man. I loved it. And how they kept them largely in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, speaking of sympathy for horrible things, like we were just talking about with Theon, got to have a little sympathy for these dragons. They've been kept down in this dark dungeon now for how long? You know,
I was in tears when she locked them up, when she tricked them in there and had to put the chains around their necks and they were crying and she walked away. Devastating scene for me.
I remember when that episode came out, people were like, you know, as people do with any TV show, they're going to start bitching and complaining about a TV show. And I remember at that point that people were saying, I felt more emotional connection to the dragons than anybody else. You know, that made me cry. And that's what I thought. I was like, oh, come on. You know, that's ridiculous.
No, I felt that, but it wasn't as a criticism of the rest of the show.
I know. And that's how I felt about it, too. But it was emotional. Danny was really upset doing that. But God, that's a great number three, dragons. Thanks. And, you know, part of what's making these great is you and I are not overlapping at all. We're covering so much ground. Because that is one of the funny things. Well, yeah, not yet. We're obviously going to on a thing or two. But that is one of the things about the structure of doing the top five versus just a recap, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we'll get into some things in the notes and all that. But, you know, look, we're not going to always cover everything on this because, look, do you need a recap? You just saw the damn show.
And that's always been my complaint about some podcasts in general. It's like, I'm obviously listening to the podcast because I like the show. So I clearly just watch the show. I don't need a play-by-play. That's why I've always loved Jason's Talking Dead cast.
No. You mean the Walking Dead cast.
The Walking Dead cast, sorry.
No, and that's, I was about ready to say, all credit where credit is due. You know, we have borrowed the, we of course have pimped out, you know, Jason has pimped out his top five format for this show, and also Grace
it
and
works.
I used that. It does. And Grace and I use that for Under the Comic Covers as well, the top
you
three
typically,
or top five.
You typically end up covering everything, or at least you cover everything that most people want to talk about or hear about, but you don't pretty do much. It in a way that's like, hey, you just watched this. Now let me tell you all about
Let me tell you,
play
what you
by
just
play.
Saw.
Yeah.
So kudos, Jason.
Kudos, Jason.
Shout out to you. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you. Well, that's cool. Dragons. That's hard to top, but.
Oh, yes, you can do it.
My number three. Bran's visions. And I loved, first of all, I loved getting back to Bran.
Oh my God, we haven't seen him in over a year.
But season four is the last time we saw Bran, and he was down there with the Green Seer down in the roots. Now they've changed the actor for the Green Seer. And oh
but
my
not
God.
For Bran.
Not for Bran, no. He's still the 30-year-old, 8-year-old boy. But
him and Carl, right?
Totally. But to get Max von Sydow, of all amazing actors, to be the Green Seer, I'm like, yes, I was so happy about that. But more to the point, Bran's vision.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, and here's, I hope they did a good job of explaining this, that once you're connected to the trees and the Weirwoods, that you can kind of see through all time and space, you know, so he's able to go
I didn't quite understand
into the past.
That. I didn't, because I knew
they
that
didn't
he
explain
could,
it well.
I knew
yeah.
that he could warg, so I knew he could see through the eyes of other animals, but I didn't understand why he could see the path. So that helps.
So some of that is that he's connected now to the trees and the Weirwoods. Now the Weirwoods are the one that Ned would always go to, the one that you always see at the beginning of that opening sequence, the big tree at Winterfell. And that tree has seen many, many things. Now Bran can actually tap into that. And there are Weirwoods throughout all of Westeros. They can, and what he's being taught
so he's
is how
can
to tap
see through
all that.
The tree and all yes. that tree has lived through and seen in its
exactly.
age.
And there are Weirwoods throughout the all of Got Westeros it. That have been there for thousands of years. So you can really, through the network of the roots and nature and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So it's this wonderfully sort of Buddhist quantum mechanics sort of thing that he can, you know, they don't get in all that. Right. But to be able to see young Ned, Benjen, Lyanna, and then.
Well, that's
then.
That's what my number two is.
Okay, so I'm stepping on your
it.
Number
no,
two.
No, go ahead and say it.
Willis! Hodor has a name!
So mine is Hodor Talks!
Hodor Talks! Yes! Oh my God! And I was so worried right then that we're going to see some horrible traumatic event.
Right.
Like somebody, like, I don't know, hitting, you know, Hodor over the head with something, and then suddenly he's like, Hodor.
Yeah.
But how that was, I can't contain myself. That was such a treat
it was.
To see a young Hodor, and his name is Willis. He has a real name. Everything about that, to see old Nan as young Nan, to all of that. It was just, and then, and I forget the name of the girl. I didn't go back and rewatch the show, but when Bran asks Hodor, you know, who is this girl?
Mm-hmm.
Hodor. And what was really
what
neat about
happened?
That scene, not only what happened, but what was so great about that scene was you get a sense that whatever we think about Hodor,
we don't know.
Something is still turning in his head, because he actually responded, you know,
right.
He reacted to what was happening with what Bran was saying.
Yeah.
So there is definitely, there's a person in there, and it's, oh my God, how is he trapped in there? You know,
yeah.
What's going on in poor Hodor that there is his whole life in there, and I want to know now. I mean, Hodor is by far one of my always has been one of my favorite characters in the book, in the show, all of it. Christian Narn as Hodor, the dude is awesome. And that just, I'm trying to look up. Oh, there it is. I could reach up and pull it down, but you can. One of my little Funko Pops, this one that I'm pointing out, that's actually Hodor. I only have two Game of Thrones little Funko Pop figures, Hodor and Tyrion somewhere up there. And I didn't even want Tyrion. Actually, somebody just gave that to me. But I bought Hodor, because that is the one that I'm like, that's my character. He has a name, Willis. I got so excited.
And I know in certain things they've kind of caught up to the book and now are past it. So is that
new
one? Did you know Hodor could speak and was Willis?
Nope,
or is that new to you?
Nope. New to me.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing, I'll say this about the book. The only thing that was from the book, for instance, Arya. That's, we're not caught up with Arya yet. And what happened with Balon Greyjoy and the Kingsmoot happened a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
It was very surprising to see that happen when it did. But I think there is a specific reason why that's happening now. And I'll get into that with my number one here in a little bit. But no, most things work. That's why we don't have a book talk section anymore.
Yeah.
It would be really useless because there are only a few little tidbits here and there. But no. This Hodor thing, 100% new to me. I was so stoked on that. That got me seriously more excited, I think, than almost anything else in the show. I loved it. I love Willis.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Willis? Now we can throw that out there all
There's
the time.
There's a meme out there with that.
I already saw it. Yeah, I stole it. Hodor, what you talking about, Willis? Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay, what's your number two?
Well, so my number two was Hodor talks.
Oh, that's right.
And just the whole, like, seeing Bran again after not seeing him for over a year, I was like, oh, finally. And then the visions of the past. And then so my question is this how we're going to find out who Jon Snow's mom is? Through Bran's visions.
I really hope so. That is a huge hope. Now, I found it interesting also that they made a big point. Now, this, again, a new thing for even book readers. The idea of him leaving this cave.
Right.
And going out into the world. That's kind of new. So I'm like, oh. I thought, honestly, even I thought Bran would be hanging out there in the roots doing groovy, nifty stuff in the roots and doing his thing. Just tripping out. But, you know, looking at the pad. But he... Well, yeah, that's probably giving away a little bit. I do think there's even a bit of a two-way communication that can happen.
Mm.
Now, Bran's, he's also got a lot of powers. He is the warg.
Right.
He can go into the, you know, so he's got some good magic juju going on with Bran. So I'm curious how this is all going to play out. But I want to see so many more of these flashbacks, whether it's Robert's Rebellion, whether it's the Tower of Joy. There are certain things. And yeah, of course, specifically Jon Snow's parentage, although I really hope poor Bran doesn't have to be subjected to how that specifically happened.
No,
but maybe
no,
we
can get just the answer.
I hope it didn't happen in front of a tree, because then poor Bran will be like, I bleach. Oh, my God.
Not
no.
Exactly.
But who knows what he can see now? I don't know. And I do hope we get a return to being able to see maybe, you know, Ned and Catelyn, maybe we'll get to see them again. I want to see Sean Bean show up again.
Yeah,
I want to see a young Ned. I want to see a young Robert. I would love to see, you know, right now, because I do feel we are, not that I feel, this is a known fact. We are in the, you know, the peak has happened of this show in terms of what the events are. We're coming towards the close. You know, it's, you can see the ending mm-hmm. now, and things I think are beginning to, there's a certain wrapping up, not a real wrapping up, but one thing I even felt with this whole episode, and normally I like to save my number five to be like my idea of what the general theme of the whole show was, but I didn't do it this time. But I do feel with Home, the general theme was a bit of a passing of the torch to the next generation
mm-hmm.
between the Cersei-Tommen conversation, or of course the Roose and Ramsay events that happened there. And I feel like there was even another one that felt like a little bit of a, and with Jon Snow, he's kind of back, you know, so that's another passing of the torch. I want to see more of that with the past, because I did enjoy seeing that flashback. I want to see young everybody and see how that fits into the whole story. And it's so interesting to me that everything that's happened in Game of Thrones is all because of the death of Jon Arryn all the way back. And,
yeah.
You know, at this point, the idea of like Lysa, it's like, oh, that's so quaint. That seemed like it happened so long ago. The death of Ned Stark. Oh, my God, that happened so long ago. The Red Wedding.
Oh, I know.
How huge was that? That was three seasons ago. Three seasons ago. Yeah.
Every time I hear of a friend that's just starting to watch Game of Thrones, the jealousy I have of being able to watch it again for the first time, like, oh, I wish I could do that again.
I feel that way with so many things, but it's and Game of Thrones is funny because my wife and I, we did start watching the show and I had not read the books yet, and she got so into it. She's like, oh my God. And she did the Wikipedia thing and read through everything. She spoiled Ned Stark's death for me. I was so pissed. I'm like, are you serious? Really? You're going to spoil that for me? So out of spite, I'm like, fine, I'm not going to allow that. No. I didn't spoil anything for her. I'm not that kind of guy. She didn't care. She already read it all in Wikipedia. Oh, okay. She knew. But that's how I read all the books. I'm like, I'm not going to let this happen to me again. So, because I like the smug satisfaction of being ahead of everybody. So I sat there and those are a lot of books to read through. And I finished book four about 3 or 4 days after book five was released. So I was able to just roll right into it. And now I've been waiting this whole time. But it's I look forward to the past coming back a little bit. So let's get back on track here.
Sorry.
Was that your number two?
That was my number two.
My number two is The Death of Roose Bolton and Walda and Child. Ugh, Ramsay. We can say that again. Fuck Ramsay.
Fuck Ramsay.
Say it with me. There you go. Fuck Ramsay.
Fuck
I like that.
Ramsay. Yeah. Not in the good way.
He won't enjoy it. Damn it. Yeah. About ready to say, I'm getting my strap on. Wait, I don't need a strap. Never mind. That's not the way that works. No lube for you, buddy. Okay, what's your number one? Who am I kidding? I know. I have a feeling our number one is going to be the same.
Can I swear? Are we swearing on here? We already did, didn't we?
You didn't really? Of course you can. This is a podcast. Yes. We're talking Game of Thrones. If anybody's listening to this who's offended by bad words, you are watching the wrong
that's
show.
That's true. The show itself.
Yes.
So Jon motherfucking Snow.
Hell.
The breath heard around the world.
Yes. Now, this is one of those things that I think everybody saw this coming.
You saw it, and it couldn't end it with it like the Red Woman leaving and he just not coming back to life. So it's like, of course, that's how it's going to end. He's going to take a breath and it's going to go to black.
They stayed on his body. They go to ghosts. Yeah, they sit there and drag out that last scene. And I'm sitting there going, okay, he's got to come back.
It was
he's
so satisfying, though.
It was. So that that's how you do a cliffhanger on an episode. And I swear to God, every single episode of this podcast, I want to make a dig at another show's really bad cliffhanger, because this is how you do it. That was how you did it at the end of season five. That was great, too.
Yeah.
At least you know who the hell got stabbed.
Yes.
And this time, you know who came back to life. That was phenomenal. I love. And here's a weird little thing that I really liked about that scene. And I was not worried, but I was kind of staring at the wounds, waiting to see them start healing.
Me too.
Up.
Me too.
I thought they were going to do that. And I kind of like it didn't. Yeah. That it was just like him coming back, you know. And it was okay.
And you're watching the dog. You're watching.
Yep.
What's his dire wolf's name? Snow?
Well, Ghost.
Ghost. I'm sorry.
Ghost.
Just watching.
I like that they gave him his red eyes. They finally gave him his red eyes. Mm-hmm. He should be a hell of a lot bigger. And the other thing about Ghost, he's not supposed to make any noise at all. He's supposed to be a mute wolf.
That's
but they didn't
do
whatever. Exactly. But whatever. I forget it. I still loved having him there. I loved that entire scene. But what I really loved the most about it, and this is where I talked about the notion of Balon Greyjoy's death happening when it happened, I think for a reason. And I like this because Melisandre, I had so much sympathy for her in this episode, right?
Yeah.
You know, last we saw her, we know now she's 400 plus years old, scary old crone. Like, ew, what the hell? But she's obviously so chock full of self-doubt.
Well, that's what I was afraid, that she wasn't going to be able to revive Jon Snow.
Sure, she
was
said, that's
doubting
not part
herself.
Of her. Yeah.
You could see it on her face when she was even doing what she was doing over Jon Snow's body. I was like, well, this isn't going to work because you're so full of self-doubt.
Totally valid belief to have and thinking that that's the case. And I was just like, oh my God, this is terrible. You know, but here's the great thing. You got to go back a ways and remember when she and Stannis were with Gendry way back when, and they had the whole cock leech thing going on. Yep. There, you know, leeches on his junk, and it was about killing the three kings.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, now I'm trying to remember who were the three kings, because Robert was Joffrey.
Joffrey.
There was Renly.
Renly?
Was it Renly? Yeah, it was Renly and Balon Greyjoy. Those are the three kings that were the leeches. We got Renly right away. We got Joffrey a little bit later. And this is what I was saying. In the books, it happened a lot sooner because you knew in the books early that Melisandre's power is there,
mm-hmm.
Because they worked. And I've always said on this podcast, R'hllor, the god of light, is the one god that seems to keep showing up. You know, we've already seen it with Thoris of Myr being able to bring Beric Dondarrion back. So this is not unprecedented. You know, we've seen this happen before, and I actually like that it was a bit of a – they've been very judicious in their use of this whole reanimation of corpses to the point where it's like, all right, this works. Because there is – I'm only saying in the books as often as I am right now because we don't have a book talk section. And it just doesn't matter anymore. But in the books, there is another character, a major character that was reanimated – but it was like many days after this person's death,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing left of this character was nothing but her vengeance. I already said her.
Do you think that they're... I know what you're talking about, even though I don't read the books. I knew about that.
Okay, we can say who it is now because it's so far gone. Yeah.
Do you Catelyn think
Stark
it?
In the book is... No, I don't. She's been dead for how long? Okay. So Catelyn Stark was reanimated, and she's known as Lady Stoneheart. And all that's left of her is vengeance. And part of that was because she had spent 3 days floating in a river and was all gross and nasty. Now, but even with Beric, there was this sense that he was not still necessarily the same man that he was.
Right.
There was a little less of him than was previous. What's going to happen with Jon Snow?
I know.
You know, is he going to be the Jon Snow we know? Or will he be more of a vengeful, angry, you know, the last time he was living, you know, he had been stabbed to death. Now, here's another neat idea about Jon Snow. To take the black, to become a member of the Night's Watch, that is until death. Is he now free?
But even if he's free, will he take that freedom or will he take his position as the leader of them?
I don't know.
So seriously that he wouldn't abandon them.
I think he will because he is... ultimately still a Stark, and I think he does believe in loyalty and honor and all that. Mm-hmm. However, he could now claim the right of Winterfell as well. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities here because he does not
so excited.
He does not have to abide by his oath for the Night's Watch because, well, he died. He fulfilled his oath until the last, and he was deemed a traitor. By those who he was killed by his own men. I think that alleviates any need for this oath that he has. I think he's done, man. He can move on. He can go be Tormund's girlfriend for all we care. It doesn't matter. He can go hang out with 1-1 and smash all the Night's Watch if he wants to. And I don't think it's dishonorable anymore.
Nope.
So what is he going to do?
I don't know.
It's so excited. Open. I'm so excited too. What's going to happen with Jon Snow? He's living again. Will he be a shadow of himself?
Will he not be
the same dreamy Jon Snow that we all love? Stupid in his honor, just like his father? Or is it his father?
I'd be okay if he had just a little bit of like...
bad boy.
A little bit of an edge, a little bit of vengeance, but still like him, but not such a pansy.
I would love that. Oh my God, I would absolutely love that if he suddenly a little bit of a mean Jon Snow, kind of a little more fuck you in everything he does instead of a pardon me, sir. No, I want to say fuck you, sir.
I will not be stabbed in the front ever again.
Exactly, man. If you're going to stab Jon Snow, you're going to have to do it in the back
because
there is no way it's happening in the front.
It's not happening.
And I want to see him put a strap on for Sir Alistair, I'll tell you that much. sorry, pegging is the theme of this episode. I want to see him just come at Sir Alistair like something fierce. And Ollie, you talk about traitors, right?
The worst.
Talk about traitors. So, of course, it's Jon Snow. He'll be noble. He'll be honorable. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
He's a different person. Oh, I'm excited.
It is very exciting.
Well, that wraps up our top five. Do you have any notes you want to go over that we did not go over?
No, the notes I had ended up being covered in your items. So that's great. The only thing very that I would groovy. Say is that there's still things I can think of that we haven't seen yet that I wonder, like, will we see Gendry again? Will Nymeria ever
still,
come back?
No, no. Gendry's still rowing the boat
in a circle.
I can't see the land. Where do I get back? Yeah, I don't know about Gendry.
The only thing that I don't think either one of us really had on our list, but we did touch on just a little bit, is going to the Lannisters and Cersei and Tommen and Jaime's scene with the Meister. That was a Meister, right?
No, he's not a Meister. That's the High Sparrow, the Faith Militant. Okay. That was interesting.
That little standoff
Well, it's actually nice. One of our voicemails covers that a bit. Okay, so that'll be fun to go over. And that was chilling. That was definitely like, ooh. and what I did like about it was that, you know, he could have killed him, but you look around, you see that Jaime was looking at all of them, mm-hmm. thinking, you know, I've been in worse fights, and I feel like he was calculating.
Mm-hmm.
How many can I take down before I die?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. One thing I really enjoyed we didn't talk about was Sir Robert, a.k.a. the Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
We all know it's the Mountain. That dude who was going on and on about Cersei's, you know, walk of shame. And, oh, she'd never seen a dick as big as mine. You know, and then peeing on the wall. Then he turns around and pisses on the Mountain.
That guy was terrible.
He was horrible. But then there's something
she
so amazing.
She licked her lips.
Yeah. God. There's something so amazing about Sir Robert just squishing his head like a water. It was like a cantaloupe against the wall. And very similar to the 1-1 scene is that there's a lot of just squishing against the wall in this episode. So utterly violent. My goodness. I loved it. That was great. So yeah, my notes, Tyrion and the dragons, Theon going home. So I think we definitely covered everything. My goodness. I do have Tommen and Cersei. That was quite a scene for me. I did love that. I think we covered everything.
Everything, every episode that Cersei's in, every scene, especially when there's one-on-one, dating back to the first season, have been some of the best acting and writing that I've seen. There was a scene with her and Robert. There was a scene with her and Ned that was just quiet and just the two of them. And it was so engaging. She's a phenomenal actress.
Agreed. Oh, and I know the one you're talking about with Ned. And that was the one where Ned was going to her going, I know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the chance to get out of here. Which was nail number 59 in mm-hmm. Ned Stark's coffin because that dumbass with his nobility. Love me some Ned Stark, but damn, dude.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, man, I think we just covered everything we need to cover in our top five highlights about Game of Thrones. What do you say we go ahead and take a quick break and come back with some news?
That'd be great because my dog is looking at me like he wants me to let him out of the room and he's probably going to start barking if I don't let him out.
Very good. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back to cover news about Game of Thrones. Okay, welcome back, and it is now time to go over some news that came out this week about Game of Thrones. Cindy, why don't you break that down for us?
From Entertainment Weekly, to protect the Jon Snow twist, Kit Harington was asked by the show's producers to deliver an off-camera performance, too. So the role of an actor who departed a series that's become a worldwide sensation. So the first thing that Kit Harington wants viewers to know after seeing his revival is, sorry, I'd like to say sorry for lying to everyone. I'm glad that people were upset that he died. I think my biggest fear was that people were not going to care. Or it would just be, fine, Jon Snow's dead. But it seems like people had a similar to the Red Wedding episode kind of grief about it, which means something I'm doing or the show is doing is right. And I'd have to agree with him. And I think he's kind of silly if he really thought people would just go, Jon Snow's dead. Oh, well. Silly boy.
That is one of those things. You feel bad for an actor when they have to cover up that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, partially because you're like, oh, come on. We've all seen pictures of you on set in the outfit, but I always feel bad for that. That was actually kind of sweet that he would actually apologize for that. It's like, aw,
what a so sweetie.
Sweet.
A little great. Off topic. Not off topic because it's about the show, but when Robb Stark was, murdered, did you hear about, what's his name? Richard, the actor's name. I know it's Richard something. Sorry.
Can't remember anymore.
Anyway, he said after he rapped and he had to fly back home.
Richard Madden.
Madden, yeah. So he said that he cried on the plane all the way home. He was like, so I was that guy on the plane crying.
Oh.
Poor guy.
yeah, I've been there.
So the second item in the news, also about, I almost said Kit Harington's death. Snow's death and reawakening, not Kit. He's fine as far as I know. From a 2011 interview with George R.R. Martin, a little insight into how he views coming back from death. My characters who come back from death are worse for wear. In some ways, they're not even the same characters anymore. The body may be moving, but some aspect of the spirit is changed or transformed, and they've lost something.
And that's really what it was that we were even just talking about before.
We were.
Yeah, so... Interesting. With him saying that, that's certainly a little...
Makes me a little nervous, because I'm hoping he hasn't lost something, but maybe he's gained a little edge to him.
Well, I think that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
We want a little bad boy Jon Snow, for sure. Well, right on. Thank you. I think that pretty much covers any news that came out this week. And I do think they are really being a lot tighter this season than they ever have been about any information that's coming up with Game of Thrones this season, as opposed to what they were before. So that's pretty cool. That's good stuff. Well, wait, look over there. Do you see them? Ravens.
Thanks.
All right. So we have some feedback from listeners on Facebook. Why don't we just go ahead and alternate through these? Cindy, go ahead and take the first one here.
Okay. So I believe it's Bianca.
Yep. That's Bianca.
Vargas.
I will interrupt and say she was actually a volunteer at Walker Stalker Con in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
And that is where I met her.
Well, I love her then. That's amazing.
She came all the way from the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, she's welcome at any Walker Stalker Con. she says they did what hasn't been done with a baby yet. Mark on The Walking Dead. And then she quoted the line that I quoted as well. I prefer to be an only child.
Harsh, Bianca. Harsh. All right. Next one is from Jeff Sukup. Sorry if I'm destroying your names. That's just going to happen. Ramsay is the best. He always makes sure his hounds are well fed. You, sir, are
terrible.
A monster.
Jeff, you are a terrible person. No, I'm sorry. You're probably delightful.
Oh, and look at this next one.
The next one, I'm not sure if I can say this right. It looks like Sherry Morford, maybe.
Cherry? Is that Cherry?
Cherry? Sherry? Something like that? No, I'm joking.
You,
for those
Sherry.
Of you that don't know, Sherry is a good personal friend of mine who also listens to this podcast. So,
and I love her,
hi, Sherry.
As well.
And she says, Jon Snow is back. So happy, with lots of little exclamation points. I knew she would be.
Michael Tortzildo. I'm sorry. Michael T. Ramsay is in for a giant surprise when he rides on Castle Black. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see 1-1 versus Ramsay.
Yay. And Joseph Alvarado says, giant dragons and Jon Snow. Best episode in a long time. So
indeed.
I think he kind of echoes my sentiments of having just one word top fives.
Oh, hell yeah. That's the way to do it. Jackie Arnes Rossi says, everything got a teeny bit less hopeless tonight. Oops. Dragons are free. Jon Snow is back. Yeah.
Yay. Bridget McNeese says, love this episode, and I'm glad Jon is back. I was expecting it, but still so happy to finally see it happen. Ramsay is just the worst. The actor is doing a great job, but I hope the character's days are numbered. I hope he gets to the wall thinking there won't be many members of the Night's Watch and is totally taken by surprise by the Wildling army. It would be nice to see the giant Hulk smash Ramsay. Yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But she says that might be too easy a death for him. I want something slow and painful for him with Sansa dealing the final blow.
I could get behind that. Me I'd enjoy too. That. Theon and Sansa just having their way with him, I think would be quite a treat. Deanna Saladino says, I miss Joffrey.
What?
I'm thinking just in relation to Ramsay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really hoping that's what you mean, but okay.
She may have to write back in and clarify.
Indeed.
Laura Will Swink?
Laura Willie Swink.
Willie Swink. Sorry, Laura. Or is it Lara or Laura?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Sorry, Laura.
It's a lovely name.
It is.
She says, my eulogy to the late Lord Bolton. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And you sowed one malevolent, sick, crazy mofo. Rest in eternal misery and despair. I'm guessing she didn't have a crush on Roose Bolton.
No, I don't think so.
As for the reawakened Lord Commander, happy to see him in the land of the living, but also very, very worried. Did Melisandre never watch Pet Sematary?
I don't think they have VHS in Westeros, but yeah. Erica N. Furter says, incredible episode, but once Ramsay killed his father and he summoned his stepmother and the baby, I left the room.
I knew it
was going to be bad, and I didn't need that image or even sounds. Husband let me know when it was safe to come back, and he filled me in. I don't know how Ramsay is going to pay for all of his sins, but it better be good. I got to say, so when that did happen, I was cringing when I saw that starting up. Because I'm just like, I don't want to have to podcast about this if they actually show us anything. I'm so glad they left it to your wretched imagination. That is just more than enough, because that was really one of the more brutal things in an extraordinarily brutal show that they've ever done. So I fuck Ramsay.
Fuck Ramsay.
That's right. So I think we're getting into some emails here. So a little bit longer.
So an email from Jamie Dimmick. Jon Snow is alive. Hodor has a name. Giants. I'm counting the mountain as a giant.
Fair enough.
Killing people is fun. It's almost like a haiku.
Almost, yeah.
I know I shouldn't laugh, but I did both times. No surprise that Ramsay is still an unbelievable D-bag. He's worse than Joffrey. I didn't think I'd be able to hate anyone more than Joffrey, but apparently I can and I do. I hope his death is slow and painful. I really like this episode, but I hope the next time we get to spend more time with some of the characters. I appreciate seeing almost everyone, but just as each story was getting good, we cut away. I'm willing to wait a week or two between each story's progress. Can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Mm, very cool.
I can see that.
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. And our last email here is from Justin Weisenkamp. Jon Snow is alive! Anyway, now that that's out of the way, my wife and I were conversing after last night's episode and came upon an interesting inquiry. With everything that happened with Cersei and then Tommen, how do you think Joffrey would have responded if he were still alive? Good question. I think you already pointed out Joffrey would not have put up with any of that. I think he would have had a lot of people killed. Yep. And I think the Faith Militant would be gone already, quite frankly. Yep. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Justin. P.S. Do any of you think that the show should have recast Bran at any point just to make the timeline less confusing? because he looks 30, and yet characters like Tommen have only aged about half that. I don't know.
I'm okay with it. Me I like too. Bran. I like that actor, and I like his portrayal of Bran. And I don't know if I've just gotten used to it with Carl, but I can suspend that disbelief.
Me too. I'm kind of glad they're keeping the same actor. It doesn't bother me so much. We'll just go with it, I suppose. Yep. In a world where summers last 15 years and winters,
right? Exactly.
Such is life. Okay, well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we do have a few calls, so we're going to go ahead and listen to those. Okay, the first one here is from Becky from Savannah, Georgia.
Ooh.
Hi, this is Becky Price from Savannah, Georgia. That episode was amazing. I loved every minute of it. I want to strangle Ramsay with my own hands, and for a hot second I thought that it was actually Ruth that had stabbed Ramsay. And I got really, really excited and started, like, jumping. And then I was like, oh, shit, no. Anyway, the whole Bran storyline to me, I guess because I'm not a book reader, is, like, really, really, really boring. And I don't want any of it at all. Also, today I was thinking, like, what happened to Osha and Rickon? I don't know where they're at, but hopefully they make their way back into the story at some point.
Good question.
And I am terrified for next week because the title of the episode is called Oathbreaker, and I saw in the preview that somebody went to Ramsay and was like, I have a gift, and I'm terrified that somebody has found Sansa and they're giving Sansa back to Ramsay.
Well,
Sansa's going to die or something terrible is going to happen to her. And also the bridge that was on Pike that Baelon was walking on was weird and creaky, but it was one of the most visually stunning and visually awesome things that has been on the show so far. I absolutely love that scene. Anyway, I love you guys. I love your podcast. I'm looking forward to listening to it this week. Hope you have a great week.
Well, thank you very much, Becky. Really appreciate that. As far as Oathbreaker is concerned, that is actually Jaime Lannister's name.
Oh.
That's what they called him after he had killed King Aerys. So.
That's right. And I was thinking maybe going towards what you were talking about with Jon Snow, that maybe he no longer has an oath to keep.
Well, exactly. So I'm curious what that's. Ooh, yeah. Maybe that has to do with John. Maybe that has to do with Jamie. That can mean a lot of things. Now, when Tywin Lannister smelted down ice, he created two swords.
Yep.
One he gave to Shithead. One he gave to Jamie.
Yep.
The one he gave to Jamie when Jamie gave it to Brienne. He renamed it.
Oathkeeper. But, right?
Yep, that's correct. So I don't know. There's a lot of oath breaking and a lot of oath keeping. I can't wait to hear how this is going to turn out. Well, here we have a call from Anonymous from Florida. Ooh.
Hey, Mr. Blog.
Hi.
Just calling in about the Game of Thrones episode. Good. So just a real quick, not necessarily recap, but just ideas on what they covered tonight. So, Bran, we saw some flashbacks. Seeing Hodor speak was awesome. One of the questions, there are a couple of questions I have, are how long have they been sitting in that cave? Like, I'd get frustrated, too, if, as Mira, I'm just sitting in the cave for a year. But, yeah, it would suck. Moving on to Davos and Castle Black. Well, I'll tell you what. Mark one for the Giants. Sir Alistair, go fuck yourself. Go get in whatever cell you need to. And I'm really becoming a big fan of Doris at getting down to King's Landing. So the guy bragging about the size of his cock versus Jamie's looks and sounds a little bit like Sacha Baron Cohen. And then I thought the comedic relief there, pissing on the mountain and then getting smashed against the it was very reminiscent of 1-1 smashing the guy against the wall. So get a mountain versus 1-1. It'd be pretty neat.
Ooh.
The High Sparrow, he's got some big balls. All right, Jamie, go ahead and kill me. That's fine. Cersei, she kind of heart dead. I think with the death of her second child, she got a heavy heart. Or is she thinking how Tommen will die? Or is his shroud from the prophecy, his crown? Tyrion versus Varys is awesome as always. Speaking of giant balls, Tyrion has that pair. The dragons they are awesome. Super smart dragons. And Tyrion punched me in the face. Bravos, yeah, okay, a little bit further along, but not too much to talk about. Winterfell, fuck the Karstarks. Holy shit. and holy fuck, Ramsay is truly Rhys's son. Karstark is a cold motherfucker, but not quite as cold as Ramsay. Holy fucking fuck. These are my notes about the baby and Wanda or Wilda or whatever her name is. So Pike, Baylon, shut up, Yara. I don't want to hear any sense. It was cool to see how Baylon died. And was the priest at the end of the Dampier or just some random priest of the Dragon Guard? And that was Melisandre. Melly without a confidence was just weird. Seeing her as a broken woman, odd. Her stone wasn't glowing during the last rites, but John's back! And then the next on Game of Thrones trailer gave me a giant flashback boner. Looking forward to hearing this. And again, hopefully I have the right number. All right. Have a good one.
Yes, you have the right number. And that is definitely a book reader right there. I loved that. That was fantastic. Thank you so much, dude. And now we have our final call, and it's actually from Rem from the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast. So had to share some of his thoughts on this episode, and I got to say, I love them. So take it away, Rem.
Hey there, it's Rem checking in from the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast. And I needed to drop in some feedback on this episode because I think this might be the best episode of Game of Thrones ever. Wow. And we had these moments, these really great moments, and we're going to talk about those during the course of the show with the resurrection of Jon Snow. That's, of course, the big one. But what I wanted to shine some light on is the smaller moments between the big moments. And I'm talking about instances like the scene in the Sept with Jaime and Tommen, and then the High Sparrow comes in, and you see Jaime just ready to kill this guy. And then when the Faith shows up, you could see Jaime doing this mental calculation of, how many of these guys can I take out? And I love that. It was a nice piece of tension. Another good piece of tension when Cersei is going to see Tommen and she's got the mountain with him. And the Kingsguard says, I'm sorry, we can't let you pass. And in that moment, you think, is the mountain going to pull his sword and start swinging? Actually, no. Cersei retreats, the mountain leaves, and you see the head of the Kingsguard go, that's really glad that didn't happen. And the other part that I really enjoyed is that scene between Brienne and Sansa. And this is so natural. This is so smart. This is so accurate. This is what people would be doing. So when Brienne is with Sansa, Sansa says, how's Arya doing? Unlike some other TV shows that might not discuss the relationships between sisters as much as they could, it seemed very accurate for Sansa to be saying, how's Arya? Is she looking okay? And when Brienne says, oh, she doesn't really dress like a woman, and Sansa says, no, she wouldn't. Nice little bits of character development. And I think what's happening is we're seeing all of the groundwork for these characters that has been laid over the past 5 years. We're starting to see these connections really happen. And I think this episode tells us that from now until the end of the series, it's going to hit the ground running and it's going to be a real ride. So really enjoying the show. Thanks for doing the podcast. And Mr. Blog, looking forward to joining you on a future episode of Game of Microphones.
Indeed. Well, yay. Rem, I am very excited to have you join me eventually for an episode of Game of Microphones. He will be joining us, and I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you guys so much for those great voicemails. Finally.
Yeah.
813 Joffrey is finally paying off. So we had not really had too many calls from that before. Well, thank you all for writing in, whether it's on Facebook or email or voicemail. We do appreciate it. Oh, Cindy, why don't you go ahead and tell us what's coming up next week on Game of Thrones?
Season 6, Episode 3, entitled Oathbreaker. Written by series co-creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, and directed by Daniel Sackheim?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Sackheim has directed episodes for lots of TV shows, including The Americans, The Leftovers, Walking Dead, and going all the way back to The X-Files.
Oh, man. Have you watched The Americans at all?
I watched a little bit of it in the beginning, but I'm a huge fan of The Leftovers and The X-Files.
I haven't seen. No, wait, if, correct me if I'm wrong. Last Halloween, didn't you go as one of the...
with Sherry Morford. With we were Sherry, the, that's right.
I'm blanking out on the name.
The Guilty Remnant.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, we were. And you want to know just a quick little side story that made me so happy, because some people knew who we were, some people didn't. And I was walking back behind the curtain area, and walking towards me was Danai Gurira, who does not come to a lot of our conventions.
No, she doesn't.
I've not actually like met her myself, where some of the other actors, they know me and I know them, because sure, every one of our conventions. And she was walking with other people, and they were clearly walking to her booth, and I wasn't going to, you know, other than nodding hello, I wasn't going to stop them or anything. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, I love your costume.
Oh,
and I was like, that's it. Day made.
Yeah, pretty much. And I haven't had the opportunity to meet her either, because she's sort of one of those.
Yes. Unicorns.
Yeah. She is a bit of a unicorn. And I've got such a wicked crush on her. It's not even funny. Oh, so I don't
gorgeous.
Know. But it is funny. You talk about like how some of the actors you get to know and some you don't. Right.
Right.
Jose Pablo Cantillo.
Oh, well, he's my con husband.
We all love and know this dude. If you
actor husband, I have a con vendor husband, con actor husband, and a con husband. So he's my con actor husband.
That dude is like the coolest dude in the
world.
He's
the best.
And I finally, it took me forever to finally get around to watching Chappie.
Like Chappie.
And what's funny is I have a signed picture from him from America. He signed it, you know, Fight Back America. I hadn't seen it yet, and I felt terrible. And this was in San Diego. This was in San Diego when I saw it, was last July. We were chatting, and I finally saw it. And as you know, he's like the nicest human being on the planet. I mean, and to have a beer with the guy is just a great experience. Have a beer with Jose Pablo Cantillo. He's a great guy. And I'm watching Chappie, and I'm like, oh my God, my friend just got ripped in half. That's fucking horrible.
I texted him. When I was at the movie, I went with Sharon and Becky, who are also work for Walker Stalker Con, and I sent him a quick text of where we were, and then when I was in there, I don't text with him regularly. I do have his phone number, but I'll send him a text once in a while. But so I sent a text and said that we were there, and then when we got in there and it started, and it wasn't quite the movie that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
and I said, oh my God, is this movie going to make me cry? And he was like, he made a joke about like oil tears or robot tears or something. And then when that happened to him, I just went, no. And I didn't hear back from him until like 2 days later. But he was like, oh, I guess you just saw me get ripped apart.
That was so upsetting. I mean, that was upsetting. But actually, Mrs. Blog and I were watching it, like I said, just recently. And she was just like, she's like, that movie's really sad.
It was. And it was really good.
So,
and it was cute.
They're so
too.
Mean to Chappie. They're so mean to Chappie.
Poor Chappie.
I really like that movie. It got shit on, but I really liked that movie.
But I liked it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And Jose, I don't know. I hated seeing him getting ripped apart. Spoilers. Oops.
Sorry.
I guess, yeah. Jose gets ripped apart. Sorry. Spoilers. You don't know how, though. So, whatever. sorry, I cut you off. We were talking about The Americans, The Leftovers, Walking Dead. David Sackheim as the director of next week.
And the synopsis is Daenerys meets her future, Bran meets the past, Tommen confronts the High Sparrow, Arya trains to be no one, Varys finds an answer, and Ramsay gets a gift.
Gift.
Wonder what that could be. I hope it's the gift of pain.
I think we would all support Ramsay getting the gift of pain. Oh, I love that. I really hate these synopses. They're so vague.
They're torture.
Daenerys meets her future. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to time travel and wake up and see my future. It's amazing. What does that mean? I don't know.
Maybe she just, they take her to meet all of those other widows.
Oh, God.
And she can see like what her future could be. I don't know.
Ooh, good point. That'd be
like, oh, I have to go like hide away in a cave with a bunch of widows.
Well, in all of that, I got to say, what really gets me excited, God, that sucks. What really gets me excited, Tommen confronting the High Sparrow.
I hope that's not the last of Tommen.
I was going to say, I have a really bad feeling that could be the end of Tommen. That would really, really suck. And then poor Cersei. I never thought I'd say those words. Oh, poor Cersei. She might have that witch's prophecy finally really come true and have the last of her children die. So I hope that's not the case. Wow. I got to say, Cindy, we covered one hell of a great episode.
We did. I got lucky. I got a lucky one.
Yes, you did. And I'm really hoping that the rest of the season is going to be as great as this one. This is spectacular. But Cindy, man, thank you so much for joining me on this one. This was, I really, so glad to talk to you. I have not seen you since November.
Has it been that long?
It's been that long since what I refer to as the Halloween Walker Stalker Con. Mm-hmm. I think the last time you saw me, I was dressed as a giant teddy bear.
Oh,
you know, cuddly. You may have been the guilty remnant, but I was Ted. So
you gotta love Ted.
Gotta love Ted. Well,
thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely my pleasure. And it was so great to talk to you. And I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. I most certainly did. Not only of Game of Thrones, but also of Game of Microphones. But you ready to close out the show?
I am.
Very good. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY. And now we know it actually works, so by all means, call us. If you'd like to write in, you can email us at game@podcastica.com and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/GOM podcast. And be sure to check out our other great podcasts in our growing network at podcastica.com. And we do have a lot of great things. We're up to 10 podcasts at Podcastica, including, of course, Under the Comic Covers with myself and Grace, and the Fear of the Walking Dead cast is going on right now, which is always a good one. And also, you're going to be able to find Game of Microphones very soon, if not right now as you're hearing this, at fanfest.com.
Yay!
Under podcast. So hopefully that's all worked out as well, and you'll see us there as well. Mm-hmm. But join us next week for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 3, Oathbreaker.
It's already going too fast.
I know. With myself and Rima Joe. But until then, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.